Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Hey, this is Josh Keaton, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
I am the Watcher. I am your guide through these vast new realities. Follow me and ponder the question. What if?
Hello and welcome to an all-new generation of Tooncast. This is our 239th episode, and I am one of your hosts, TFG1 Mike. Joining me is BAM crew member Allison Richards from the Fortress of Baileytude, Superman and Lois tapes. Hi, Allison. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mike. How are you tonight?
Let's just go with great. We'll just go with that and see what happens from here.
Yeah,
it's been one of those weeks where you think each day is the other day and all of that. That's never good. Never a good thing.
Well, honestly, probably for some people, still March day 596 of 2020.
Yeah, most likely. So, we are here to talk about Marvel Studios Season 1, Episode 6. This will be a spoiler-filled discussion.
Every journey has a beginning, but change one step along the way, and you could end up at a very different destination.
Come on, it's okay, laugh. Hey!
Is it cool if I take a picture with you?
Yes, it's very cool. Please, no gang signs. No, throw it up. I'm kidding. Yeah, peace. I love peace. I'd be out of a job with peace.
And it's all about what if Iron Man never happened?
Well, in a way, it's still like Iron Man happened, but it was Iron Men.
Yeah. Yeah, the official title for this is What If Killmonger Rescued Tony Stark? And wow, what a dark, turn this kind of took.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, we're gonna have a nice redemption, and Killmonger's gonna be a no. And in a way, honestly, I'm still kind of glad they went this way because it's staying true to his character and the core of why he became a soldier and why he, you know, what his purpose was even in the Black Panther movie. He still had that goal. There's a part of me that wished that he could have used his new allies and connections in a way better to not let his need for revenge for his father's death make him lose part of that ability to help his brothers and sisters using Stark Tech, as opposed to, you know, making it still be about revenge on Wakanda.
Yeah.
Was a spectacular entrance, seriously.
The Ten Rings have reinforcements en route. We need to move now.
Fine by me. Lieutenant Killmonger? What is that, German?
A nickname.
That's clearly a good fit. I see where they got it. What's your afternoon like?
Yeah, and wow. Just wow. It's... I haven't actively watched Iron Man since, I want to say 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, if only Obadiah was dealt with that swiftly in the actual movie, not that that would ever happen. I do love what the Watcher says throughout this about how heroes are this and that and whatever. And I do love his overall narration of this story. I think that was really well done.
Heroes are not born. They're forged in darkness. Shaped in battle. Defined by sacrifice.
And I am Iron Man.
Without Tony Stark's fateful capture in Afghanistan, the age of Iron Man would never come to pass. Though the man was saved, a hero was lost, and a villain.
Yeah, it's the whole idea that heroes never truly die. They live on in those who they inspire.
Mm-hmm. And I think that was good for this episode, considering that T'Challa was killed by Killmonger, or it was made to look like,
it was made to look like Rhodey did it.
Yeah. Which,
that kind of... At that point, that's kind of when I realized that this is going to be... This is... Killmonger was not on a good path. Because I could see maybe the revenge still for killing T'Challa being, you know, that eye for an eye with, you know, the king T'Chaka having killed his father.
Yep.
But then he turned on Rhodey. And at that point, it almost came to being like that he is willing to actually sacrifice some of his own people to be able to gain the power he feels he needs to help them.
Yeah.
And honestly, I am not the person who can speak on this because I am not a black person. So that is not something
right.
that I can really go deep into.
Same here. Yeah.
Into that. I would love to, you know, hear people if they want to comment on it about how that aspect of the story touched them in a, you know, in ways that I don't have the perspective to know.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I had kind of, cause it, again, it's been a while since I've seen some of the movies. Mm-hmm. I forgot it was Michael B. Jordan as Killmonger.
Yeah.
I really, really did. And then his voice, and I'm like, hey, what's Johnny Storm from Fantastic Four doing here?
Well, it's the same reason that Johnny Storm also was carrying a shield and wearing a flag, you know?
That's true. Yep.
I mean, apparently Johnny Storms are really popular in the MCU.
Yes, they are. Man, they got almost, like we've said about the cast before in each of these episodes, they've gotten almost everybody back, but the ones that they got to replace or take the place, whatever. Yeah, I don't want to sit here and say they've replaced them, but they kind of have. And I understand, like Tony Stark, I get it. Robert Downey Jr. wants to go do other things, and he, whatever, that is what it is. But Cheadle's back. Leslie Bibb is back as Christine Everhart. What surprised me was Beth Hoyt as Pepper. And I thought she did a really good job.
Yeah, I mean, the voice for Pepper is spot on. For a minute, I thought it was Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah. And I'm just kind of going through Beth's... She's gotten some stuff, but she's fairly new. She's been in one episode of Better Call Saul, and there's a bunch of other stuff. She's been acting since about 2006. So,
yeah.
Again, well, animation. Go ahead.
I was going to say, well, the gentleman that they got to play Steve Rogers is also the person who did the voice for Shiro in the Voltron Legendary Defender.
And that would be Mr. Josh Keaton.
Oh, yeah. And then, if I am not mistaken, and I'm trying to look it up right now. So the gentleman who plays Tony, Mick Wingert.
Yep.
He also played Iron Man in the Guardians of the Galaxy TV cartoon series. And he was also Tony Stark in the Avengers Assemble animated series. Yep. Which is why my ear keeps hitting on him as being a authentic Tony voice.
Yeah, he was very authentic to RDJ, and it was very, very cool. The one thing that throws me off with this show is when they actually show the Watcher.
Yeah.
It, just his character design, just the way, you know, and I guess it shouldn't throw me off because I'm a huge Funko Pop nerd. And his head looks like it's three times bigger than his actual body. Like, in this specific episode, when we see him, I'm like, holy crap, dude. You sure you don't need brain surgery? Because it looks like you got a lot of water on the brain or something. Because it just, again, it's nothing that's going to make me dislike this episode. It's just one of those things where I love the way they put him in the background or they use him as like the galaxy kind of thing where it's his silhouette kind of thing.
Yep.
I don't know. But okay. Yeah, I mean, sorry. Good.
No, I was just going to say, apparently he also played Iron Man in the Spider-Man cartoon series from 2017 to 2020.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Absolutely. I need to go back and watch that or finish watching it. We had Jon Favreau as Happy, obviously. That was supposed to be my promotion.
Yes.
Oh, Happy.
Yeah.
You are such a Hogan Happy. Oh, man. I just overall really enjoyed this. I kind of saw the whole thing with Killmonger coming, not really, but I just, by the time Rhodey couldn't get him on comms, I'm like, oh, he's sneaking stuff. He's doing stuff he's not supposed to. He's not on your side, Rhodey. There's something wrong. And then the next thing you know, something goes wrong.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's kind of like our prior knowledge of who Killmonger is, you know, makes us not surprised when, you know, he betrays people. But at the same time, you're just like, but come on, you can be better. Be better. And the layers of manipulation. Just, I mean, it's this, you see the same layers in Black Panther, but it feels like it's like doubled down in how well, you know, he has planned this from, you know, betrayal to betrayal that you don't know if he's kind of, you know, some of it is kind of going off the cuff or some of it is like he has studied like Tony and the military so well that he knows how every single person will react.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those things where he's not just playing the sides against each other. He is playing every single angle that he can because he stays one step ahead of everybody.
Yeah.
When they were doing the press conference and Obadiah was like, okay, ha ha ha, that's enough for tonight. And Eric's like, yeah, but when I did the research and I found out that, you know, Tony, you know, the whole thing over there was all signed off by Obadiah and all the receipt. It's kind of like Tony coming into, it's Iron Man 2. Because, yeah, when he goes into the Hammer suite, when he goes into the Hammer conference and he's like, here you go, Justin. I'm just going to take over your entire video screen, and this is what Hammer Industries is working on. And this is like,
that was the military hearings.
Yeah. That's what this reminded me of when Killmonger was like, here's all the receipts. I put all the info online. You can Google it right now. I'm like, oh boy, this guy is yikes.
Yep. And speaking of Justin Hammer, the AI automated drones.
Mm-hmm.
Though they looked very similar to the ones from Iron Man 2 that Vanko and Hammer made.
Yep, they did. They absolutely did. What else about this one?
All right. So the moment in the afterlife with T'Challa, I felt that was beautiful.
Yeah.
Especially because, oh gosh, what is the line? He talks about how, oh Christ,
I'll probably put it right here or something. I know what you're talking about.
Yes, insert that conversation here.
Was it worth it? My cousin.
Yeah, I did what I had to do.
For what? A throne?
For vengeance. For my father. And for all my brothers and sisters who suffered through oppression while you just sat back and watched.
You believe the cure for human suffering is more suffering.
The cure is power, and now I have it.
Because you stole it, power unearned can be a very volatile force, cousin. It will get the best of you eventually. On your plane or on ours.
Though, it's the one about humans ending human suffrage with more suffering.
Yep.
And I'm just like, that is, seems to be all that we ever do. It's like everybody believes that that's the way to end suffering is by, you know, fighting people to end it, but no one thinks of the people who are suffering.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I absolutely loved about this was that moment with T'Challa and the moment in the beginning with Tony and Killmonger.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where Killmonger was like, what is it your dad used to say? You know, always have a bigger stick than the other guy. And Tony's like, yeah, that didn't work out so well for dad now, did it? And I wish we didn't have to do any of this.
Yeah.
I love that they wrote that as Tony's character. You know, again, changing the fact that he never got injured. He never had the shrapnel. He never made the arc reactor. He never made Iron Man is not even a factor.
No, he had the arc reactor.
No. He had the arc reactor, but he didn't miniaturize it. Like, you know what I mean? Because of the shrapnel and all, you know, all that. So, yes, the arc reactor was still a thing, but it never came into play with him taking it, modifying it, and saving himself because he didn't have to because Eric came in and threw the missile into the sky.
Yep.
Just, oh, man, these... I'm not sure, like, I've seen some people that, and that's fine, as I said last episode, I think I've said every episode, we've done one of these. If people aren't interested in this cartoon series, that's fine. You know what? That's their prerogative, but this is not a bad, like we've said, there are certain things we don't like, but usually we end up finding more positive things that we do like about each episode, because again, these are stories that are what ifs. These are stories that are in other realities other than the main MCU. And because it's if they had done this series with just trying to adapt the comics and not tied it into MCU stuff, I don't think it would have the same, at least for me, it wouldn't have the same effect. Because again, as I've said, I've never read the What If comics.
Yeah. Well, and it's the same as like how they're doing now, you know, with the Hawkeye series, which, oh my God, that trailer.
We will talk about that later.
Yes. But how, you know, Fraction's comics won't match with the MCU Hawkeye, just straight out without any, you know.
A little bit of deviation. Yeah.
Right. So what's good is that in here, you know, we're seeing those deviations by taking sometimes stories that might have been in the comics, but blending them with the MCU past instead of the comic past, which, like you said, to make it more accessible to people who only access Marvel through visual media as opposed to, you know, comic media.
And I mean, technically comics are a visual media, well, but yeah. I mean, it, you know, it is, but it's, you know, you read them, you start to read
the bubbles with the words.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes there are bubbles with no words and you just have to infer everything.
And then there's bubbles that are the dog's point of view and, you know, it's just a bunch of lines. That issue won an Eisner Award.
Yes, yes, it did. Pizza dog. Oh, Lord.
Oh, lucky.
Oh, that's crazy. But yes, season one, episode 6 of Marvel's What If on Disney Plus. They just keep pulling at the heartstrings, man.
They do. And they are really good at the layers, just like the layers of that story.
Yeah.
And it's like, at one point, I'm waiting for when, you know, Killmonger is kneeling and, you know, before T'Chaka says that he'll be the Black Panther, I'm waiting for Killmonger to pull a knife and to stab the king. Yeah. And instead, he gets a different kind of power, so he decides not to, I hope, you know. Yeah. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, because, you know, he also knows how to make all those robots. He also knows. He has all the scrap vibranium.
Yep.
And you know Claw has a bunch of those. Because,
oh, yeah.
I mean, even though Claw was killed, his people have them.
Oh, absolutely they do, yeah.
And the US military still has the plans.
True. And the fact that all of the moves of the robots are based on Killmonger's moves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to compare it to this, but I'm going to anyway, because it was awesome seeing Wolverine in a certain other film.
Yeah.
This was basically, with Killmonger specifically, him tying the moves for the robot to his own style. It's basically like Hugh Jackman in Real Steel.
Yeah. It is. It is.
You know, it's so fun and it's so cool. And I know these are supposed to be one-off stories and they're supposed to be leaving us wanting more.
They are one-offs, but they're also going to combine towards the end.
True. Right. I know that. I'm just saying that every time we get to the end of each episode, I'm like, but I want more. Just give me 5 more minutes of whatever. Like, I think the Doctor Strange episode was the only one where I was like, holy crap, well, that's that universe then, isn't it? Everything else, I'm like, I need at least 5 to 10 more minutes where we get some sort of nice little bow wrapped around it.
I mean, honestly, as I think I've said every episode, that each episode of these could be its own movie.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. Absolutely, it could. And wow.
And I think that's why it's also so intense, is because they are putting almost a whole movie's worth of plot and character arcs that they then have to condense it from what would normally be, for a superhero movie, be about 120-page script down to about 30 pages for what is typically 30 to 45, which is typically for a half hour show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, that's, basically it's like one page would be doing, like 1 minute would be doing like 6 minutes worth of work in a way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Again, it's just so, so good. And again, the music that literally, as we're recording this, I had just found that the sixth episode score is at least, I'm sure it's everywhere, folks, but I use Spotify. So it's on Spotify. And since the last episode we recorded and released, I have created a whole playlist of the entire first season. Basically, I just add each album as the episodes come out, so they just show in order of what the album order is, as far as the tracks go.
And you are totally going to link that in the show notes.
Oh, of course. Always.
Totally.
Yeah. I might even embed it so people can just see the dang thing. But yeah, I mean, when we do the next episode for next week, I may have to do like, oh, by the way, here's a little housekeeping. I've now listened to the music outside of this, you know, episode six, and it's like, holy crap. Wow. So good.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And all I know is that they've got, looking here at IMDb, the pictures they got for like episode 1-9 is all the Avengers together.
Yep.
And then episode 1-8 is the one that happens up in, to say the devil's anus, and that's where it is, but it's not the name of the planet.
Wow. Alrighty then, folks. I think we've,
it's
good night, everybody.
Ragnarok movie.
Yeah, I know.
But anyways, they have Jeff Goldblum's character in there, but 1-7 doesn't have anything still left in here at all.
Yeah, not yet. It doesn't.
Well, and here's the thing. We haven't seen yet on the, we have yet to see the Captain Marvel one.
Mm-hmm.
Because Captain Marvel is supposed to have one. We have not seen yet this supposed to be amazing one of Natasha on a motorcycle with the shield.
I want to say, and I could be wrong, I want to say that's 1-7. The only thing is, I don't know if it actually is, because I'm on the Wikipedia, not IMDb page of episode 7. I see Tony. I see your buddy, Clint. I see Okoye,
Okoye.
Okoye. I see Josh as Steve Rogers. I see Sebastian Stan as Bucky. I see Chadwick as T'Challa, and obviously Jeffrey Wright.
This is the first of the merge, then.
Yeah. And then 1-8, the only cast they have listed is Jeffrey, which is obviously Jeffrey Wright as the Watcher.
Yep.
And then obviously 1-9 is the final episode.
Final countdown.
So yeah. I absolutely loved episode 6. I don't even have anything. There wasn't anything. Again, like you said last week, these episodes are really hard to criticize because we're enjoying them so much, and they are different tales of what we already know actually to happen.
Yep.
You know, it's like the Watcher says, you change one little event, one little thing, one little moment, and you're in a whole new universe. And I just love that. I am so glad that, number one, they got Jeffrey right, and number two, that he wanted to do the job, because I can't see anybody else voicing the narration for this animated series.
Yeah, Bethany has a little bit of a hard time, though, because he plays Bernard in Westworld.
Right.
And she has that. She's like one of the authorities on Westworld in Dragon Con fandom circles. Right. So it's like she has a hard time. She's just like, oh, no, it's the Watcher, not Bernard. It's the Watcher, not Bernard.
Oh, it's so funny. All right, folks. What would you rate episode 6 of season 1 of Marvel's What If? 0 to 5.
Honestly, I have to give this one a 5. It's not my favorite, but mm-hmm. It is very good.
Yeah, it is very, very good. I, you know, when we get to the point of episode 9, probably in that podcast episode, we're going to have to do like our top 9 and just order them least favorite to most favorite kind of thing, because these stories, holy crap.
Yeah.
So good. I am also going to give it a 5. Again, animation is top notch. The characters, the choices that are being made, everything is just so well done.
Mm-hmm. Oh, also, can I say one thing?
Uh-huh.
Shuri and Pepper at the end.
Yes, that's why I wanted to see more of this.
Yes, but here's the thing. When they recovered the footage with Shuri saying that she's also a genius, mm-hmm. Which, yes, totally true. But it also reminded me that in Age of Ultron, Jarvis has a protocol that if he's being attacked, that he scatters his data. And yep. That's why he was still he was still trying to keep Ultron from getting the code numbers.
Yeah, it's
because these were part of his protocols. I would not be surprised if Shuri managed to pull Jarvis back.
That would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
That would be absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
All right, folks, we are going to take a quick break. You're going to hear a couple of ads, and you're also going to hear the audio version. I haven't modified it or anything, but basically you're going to hear the audio from the Hawkeye trailer for the new Hawkeye series coming to Disney Plus on November 24th. And we'll be back after this.
Mr. Stark, were you injured in the attack?
No, but I did spill my drink, and it was a 26 Macallan, so I'm pretty sure that's a war crime.
Excuse me, sir. Harry Weddington, British Post. Did you learn any lessons from your time in Afghanistan?
I did. Never travel anywhere that doesn't have a Four Seasons.
Mr. Stark, has this experience changed you?
Well, I saw young Americans killed by the very weapons I created to protect them, and I realized we have to do better, build bigger, and fight badder for them. Which is why I'm bringing in Lieutenant Eric Stevens, the Navy SEAL who saved my life, as Stark Industries' new Chief Security Officer.
This is such a load of bull. It's supposed to be my promotion.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Hey gamers, TV's Mr. Neil here. The Gaming Hipster is my personal podcast in which I take you on a journey through my history of gaming, both new and old. Each month is a new topic show in which I bring you my console memories, give reviews of my favorite video games, and talk with cool guests.
People have made cartridges. I've actually played Netflix on Nintendo.
I was making sure that I got everything. I was writing it all down.
They fixed that for the third fake prototype.
And that's the first time I remember seeing real animated boobs.
Find the podcast at geekcastradio.com. or on Spotify. You can also hear a deluxe version of The Gaming Hipster at ravinghipster.com or patreon.com/MrNeil. For $2 a month, you can hear longer versions of the podcast with after-show segments and stuff too raw for the internet. You also get various topic shows, my commentary podcast, The Big Bad Movie Show, commercial-free GeekCast stuff, and more, all at patreon.com/MrNeil and ravinghipster.com.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies.
We talk TV. We talk.
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car.
Download this show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Hey, it's Wes from Poppin' Off Toys. Wanted to let you know about poppinoffToys.com. We can be your number one source for Funko collectible figures to add to your ever-growing collection. If you're in Nashville, Tennessee, we actually have a retail store that you can come by, 5916 Charlotte Pike. And for the rest of us, poppinoffToys.com is always open, and you can check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and even TikTok. And the name is just simply Popping Off Toys. Thank you so much, and always keep it popping.
This is the first Christmas we've had together in years.
I love you guys. I'm making up for some lost time.
Authorities are wondering if the masked vigilante who terrorized the city's underworld is back.
The past has caught up with me.
Should we be worried?
No, it's nothing. I'll be home for Christmas.
I promise.
It's the most wonderful time.
When I wore this suit, I made a whole lot of enemies.
You're Hawkeye.
Who the hell are you?
Some people have actually called me the world's greatest archer.
Are you one of those people?
It's the most wonderful.
Hey, babe, I should be back in a day or two. Hang on a second. With the kids jingle bell, things have gotten more complicated. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's the most wonderful time. Yes, the most wonderful.
This is too dangerous. Definitely not this one.
You don't have to say definitely like that. Holy shit! There are arrows more dangerous than that one?
Just some Christmas.
All right, folks, we are back, and we've kind of loved all over Killmonger and his journey in Marvel What If Season 1, Episode 6. We've kind of talked about Episodes 7, 8, and 9. No, not Star Wars, folks. And now we are, because I can literally just... I can hear both Allison, and even though Bethany is not here, I can hear both of them squealing in my ear after watching the Hawkeye series on Disney Plus trailer coming November 24th. All right, so when you the first time you saw it, what was your reaction?
Incoherent screaming and squealing.
I figured as much.
But yeah, no, I walked away with a couple questions, a lot of happy, and a few like, I see where we're going here. I see what we're pulling from comics. And it, yeah, a lot of happy. Yep. And not Happy Hogan, just, you know, happy.
Yeah, I don't think Happy Hogan's going to be showing up here.
Well, you never know.
I mean, yeah, you never know. It could happen, but I don't think Hawkeye's aiming for Happy's job at this point.
No, he's not.
I mean, after all, he did kind of zombify Happy recently, so.
Yeah.
But man, oh man, it was like, I don't know, 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. the morning it premiered. I had seen one of Jeremy Renner's stories on Instagram or something, and I'm like, ooh, it's out? Because the story was like from 9 hours before. He's like, tomorrow, the Hawkeye trailer. I'm like, oh, okay, well, it's tomorrow already. I'm like immediately going to either the Disney Plus page or the Marvel Entertainment YouTube channel. And I'm like, ooh, Hawkeye, this is going to be interesting and awesome and really, really cool. And this is coming from somebody like, I literally do not, I remember recording our, over on the Pullbag episode, where did I say that episode was? Episode 2019? I forget. Whatever episode it was that we recorded, the Hawkeye Volumes 1 and 2, the Fraction Run, back then I just did not, I didn't get it. I thought it was just Hawkeye's day off, and it was, but it was it's obviously more than that kind of thing, and I just was not into it, so I'm going to have to try to get back into it to get ready for this series, because that's what this series is kind of based off of. And I got to say, just seeing the series and seeing Kate and seeing Clint and everybody that's supposed to be here, man, and the faces he made in that trailer, any of them, all of them, like, holy crap, dude, they really let you come out of your, not come out of his shell, but basically they basically told you, you know, go for the gusto.
Yeah, and that's, I think, one of the things that I'm really happy for. Because Clint, for the movies, for the most part, has been a very straight-laced, serious character. Mm-hmm. And anyone who reads Hawkeye in the comics know that that is not who Clint Barton is.
Yeah, no.
And so I was wondering how the translation was going to go of taking Fractions comics and their world and moving it into the MCU. And the faces that Jeremy makes, especially my favorite, the oops face at the, you know, after mm-hmm. he asks him if he's got any more danger arrows, more dangerous than the exploding arrow.
Yeah.
That right there, that sold it to me. That told me that they are actually going to let comedy come into this series. It may not be heavy comedy, but there will be that connection between Kate and Clint that is basically almost a buddy cop show.
Yeah.
And
I think that's awesome.
Yes. And I am so down for it. I'm so excited to see it. I mean, hell, he was freaking, after falling, he was treating his bruises with pina colada mix. I mean, these are the things that they honestly should have had with Hawkeye since the very beginning. I mean, he did have, we saw parts of it, you know, when he's with Natasha. We see a lot of it when he's with Natasha.
Yeah.
And then we really saw a lot of his sarcasm and snark in Civil War.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's where we really started to see what I see as a Hawkeye. You know, Endgame was way too serious, but that was a serious movie. So I'm glad we're getting back to the lighthearted character that he is supposed to be, even though he is going to be facing a lot of his demons in here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be so fun, and I cannot wait.
Yeah.
I'm actually moving things around in the pull bag for us to at least review the first volume mm-hmm. of the Fraction series. So that way beforehand, before the actual television, before the live action series starts on Disney Plus in November, we can kind of, not necessarily compare them, but kind of, like, because again, I don't even, I remember recording the episode, but I barely remember reading volumes 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. So,
well, you know. Is this the point that we should share with our listeners what I'm plotting?
Yes. Yes, we should.
So, the Geekcast Network, right?
I'm sorry. Geekcast Radio Network. Yep.
Geekcast Radio Network has allowed me to have some fun, and starting somewhere in October, because I want to give some good lead time before the show starts, mm-hmm. I am going to be starting a Hawkeye podcast which is the first podcast that I lead.
Yep. It's going to be a sub-series of Studio 2009, which is our... Studio 2009 is our new show that we debuted a year ago, 2 years... How old is that show? I don't even remember now. I gotta look. Anyway, Studio 2009 is the new show that Steve Megatron and I started, where I said, let's talk about anything and everything in the audio and visual medium. So, music... podcasts, movie reviews, TV reviews, that kind of, you know, we have this whole video game series called Video Games We Love, and we also do other things as well. We debuted it, it's only been a year. Mm-hmm. Wow, been a year this June. We debuted it June 2nd of last year. So yeah, it's going to be a sub-series of Studio 2009, mm-hmm. and however many episodes we need to do with it, I guess. Yeah. And you know, it's going to be awesome. Go check out Studio 2009. Like I said, at least on my end, I want us to at least do at least the first volume of the Fraction series inside the pull bag, and it's going to be so fun.
Oh yeah, I'm planning on not only looking at the volumes of that. I'm also planning to pull out the stuff with Kate Bishop's origin story, you know, and also maybe seeing if I can get some of the comic writers who have written Hawkeye in the past and talking about, you know, their relationship with the character. So,
oh man, if we could get Fraction, that would be awesome.
Yeah, that's going to be the hard one because I actually don't have any contact info with him, but I'm going to try. But I do have a couple other people I can poke at. So
very cool, very cool.
But yeah, and so I'm thinking of titling it So You Want to Be a Hawkeye, you know.
Yep. That's awesome.
But yeah, and then I figure, you know, leading in to the episodes, being able to make sure that the listeners kind of know some of what they may be pulling from, mm-hmm. so that they can find and be able to relate to things and not think like, where the heck is this coming from kind of deal.
Right.
And then obviously, you know, recapping, reviewing the episodes as they air. And then, you know, maybe depending on if it's going to be a secondary season or if it's just a straight one season that and done one, mm-hmm. I was thinking we can always continue off and talking about more of his comics, you know, and such.
Absolutely, yeah.
Depends on if we get, you know, listeners. And I have a couple people, like I said, who I know will love it and will want to support, so... Fingers crossed that it goes well.
Absolutely, absolutely. So when is the, because as of this recording, it's not out yet. When is the Dragon Con recap episode coming?
It should be coming out sometime soon. I know that,
Michael.
That Michael's been, not feeling all that hot, I believe.
I think I saw something about that.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I don't know. I mean, as a podcaster that works as hard as Bailey does, especially with him having his day job and everything that's going on in his life, life comes before podcasting. I've said that for 13 years and, you know.
Yeah. But
it is what it is.
I mean, we've recorded it. We have recorded it, and whether or not he's going to get it up right away or not, I don't know. I do know that after we do the recap, we are going to start maybe heading to a different CW Superman show and doing some, you know, something with that. And
let me guess, you're gonna need someone to save me, right?
Yeah, probably, especially since, you know, I found at the Half Price Books, I found the first six seasons for like $6 each.
Yep.
So seasons one through six might be in my house right now.
Mm-hmm. Just don't put anybody up as a Clark Crow, please. We don't need that.
I don't even know the reference of what you're talking about.
Clark Crow, Scarecrow, when they hoisted him up in the, wasn't it the pilot episode? Really?
It has been a very long time since I have seen Smallville. I mean, like,
it's been 20 years since it debuted.
Well, yeah, and I probably watched it, when did Jensen Ackles, when did Supernatural started in 05? So I probably watched it in the library in 2010, because I think it was when Supernatural was getting weird. I supplemented with taking Smallville out at the library, you know, season by season. And yep. I only got through season 5 there.
So. Oh, man, we are really coming up on its 20th anniversary.
Yep.
According to this pilot trailer, October 16th of 2001 is when the show launched.
Yep, which is why I said we're going to probably have...
Wow, that's awesome.
Which I'm always fine for, you know, revisiting series that I haven't seen in a long time, because half the time it's like you're seeing it again. And you just
absolutely, yeah.
And then, of course, you know, I get to see young Michael Rosenbaum as Fluffy Lex, and that always makes me happy. I call him that to his face. He probably doesn't remember me, but I do call him that to his face.
Didn't you see him at Dragon Con?
I never actually got to go over to see him. Every time I was in the Walk of Fame, he was not there.
Oh.
So the only ones I got to actually go up and talk to that I wanted to see was Felicia Day and Tyler. Everything else, you know, I wanted to see Anthony Rapp and I wanted to see Michael, and they just never were in there when I was in there.
Hmm. Weird.
I was also kind of sad because Michael had he had actual physical copies of his new band's album, Sunspin, is the band name.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to, you know, I had been bugging him back in, gosh, before Left on Laurel to have CDs made to bring to convention so I could buy them. So I was really upset that I wasn't able to buy it.
Oh, boy.
But it's not like he's not there every year. So
true.
So I will just bug him next year. Maybe he'll even have a new album at that point. And, you know, like,
there you go. Awesome. Awesome. Very cool. Very cool. All right, folks. I think that's going to do it for us. We've talked about What If. We've talked about Hawkeye. We've talked about Smallville. Man, I feel old. Oh, boy.
You and me both. How old were you when Smallville came out?
I was 21 at the time.
Senior in college? No, wait.
No, I was just out of... graduated at 19. Yeah, I was like... I wasn't even in college, really. I was going into the workforce at that point. Because I had already tried college like twice and it just didn't... Sometimes it doesn't click with people and you just can't do it. I can't focus. And I was in the workforce by then, so...
Yeah, 2001... Yep. I was already out of college for over a year at that point, I was 22 at that point. Yes, yep. I graduated when I was 21. 79, so.
Yep.
I'm a 1979 birth. So. Yeah, no, I feel. Oh, my gosh. So, just randomly off topic. I'm teaching hyperbole to my students today, and they were talking about, like, they were giving different different examples, and one of the examples in the video I put up was, I would die without the internet, and the narrator's like, but then I started thinking, you know, would you really die without the internet? What was life like before the internet? And one of the kids was like, there was a time before the internet. I'm like, no, you are not allowed to make me feel old today. It's Friday.
Yeah.
Man, I'm like, yes, just, the internet did not exist. You will see this in your social studies classes if you pay attention.
Yeah. It's so crazy. Life before the internet, man. Like, so crazy. All right, folks.
Yeah.
As always, we want to thank you for joining us here on TuneCast. If you'd like to get in contact with us, really feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send any email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Just put TuneCast, Marvel What If in the subject line, or whatever you're responding to if it's not that. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts, leave us reviews, please. Spotify and any other podcatching client you choose to use. Follow us on Twitter at GCR and TuneCast and TuneCast Beyonder for the show. I am at TFG and Mike. You can also follow at GeekCast Radio for the network. What is your Twitter?
It is Ali Sky Richards, AliSkyRichards.
MOUSE.
Mickey Mouse.
I know.
Wow, that aged me.
No, it didn't. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. You can also look for TuneCast, All Tunes All the Time over there, as well as the Superman and Lois tapes. We hope you enjoyed this episode of TuneCast and wish you'll join us next time when we will be giving you our thoughts on Marvel What If Season 1, Episode 7. For now, I am TFG on Mike with
Allison Richards.
Thank you for listening. Until next time. Oh, yeah. And unleash the tune in you.
What? How did you get in here?
I'm here to help Miss Potts.
I knew it. He killed Tony. And your brother? How did you get this?
Mr. Stark was a genius. But he's not the only genius. It appears we have a common enemy.
Unfortunately, your side and mine refuse to see it.
So, let us open their eyes together.
Heroes are never really gone. They live forever. As do the ones they inspire to carry on the fight.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.